the Station of the Stars. RTI.
Have mercy, Mr. Attitude, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome to Postcard from Pop Bread on a technology disaster day. I'll explain more in a minute. My name's Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains here in very hot, very clammy. If you hear thunderclaps, don't panic. We have an electric storm overhead as we're putting the programme together. And normally we would have Lee, who's got immense problems with his internet at the moment. So we hope to drag him in a moment. But ahead of that, we've still got Mark in Paris.
Hello there. Yes, from Paris. And I'm not quite sure what it's going to do. I don't know if it's going to rain or sunshine at the moment. It's very odd kind of weather. But anyway, hi there from Paris. It's warm, anyway.
As always, hi to the guys at Talk Radio X, Replay Radio, and RTI, of course, you lovely folks. We'll try and keep an eye open for Lee to bring him back in. But before all of that, because we've mentioned this a couple of weeks ago and last week and God knows how many other weeks, we've had there's been a huge problem in the UK and Ireland with ATM machines, as they're called in America, or cash points, call them what you will. And we know that Ireland is still in tremendous trouble with this ridiculous crash.
So let's can I just interrupt for a moment?
Yes, sir.
What does ATM actually mean? Do you know? I've never known.
I don't know either.
ATM?
ATM. We could have all a song. Right. We could have a song. Look it up. Google it.
ATM. Young man.
And as you can hear, there's another voice joining us now because there's heavy breathing from County Galway, actually in Galway City. It's Gerald. Hi, Gerald.
How are you doing, Eric?
I'm all right. Wow, you're loud.
Sorry about that. Apologies. We had a power cut.
Yeah.
So we got into our backup generator. So I had to run downstairs, make sure it went in. So I think our settings may have changed here.
You'll have to just talk quietly, Gerald.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the way around that.
Your technology all organised by the NatWest or by the RBS, are they, or something?
Well, what is going on here is very, it's serious. It's affecting over 20 million transactions a day.
Jeez. Oh,
but this was all seen actually over in Scotland.
Yeah. Mm.
They noticed the problem 21 days ago.
Yeah.
It has happened where there is a system that does all the transactions at the end of the night. It tots up your ATM transactions, which is auto-telling machine.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So it rebalances your bank account every night.
Mm-hmm.
Your direct payments, your DDs, you're paying your bills to your utility companies. That all goes through in the middle of the night when we're all asleep.
Yes.
But this is not going through, and over 100,000 customers in the Ulster Bank have struggled to find out what's going on with their transactions, mm-hmm. which are not happening. It's leaving people scratching their heads. And Jim Brown, who is the chairman of Ulster Bank here in Ireland, was brought to the Irish version of the House of Commons to be asked what was going on.
Right.
And he basically said it's a software glitch. They have been investigating it. And they still and think it may be another week to a week and a half before this is all sorted out.
Jeez. So I think we're going to do the same thing. What's the real impact to people then, Gerald?
If you're trying to pay your telephone bill,
mm-hmm.
you can't do it. So the telephone company will say, well, sorry, we're going to have to cut you off.
That's crazy.
The other problem is if you're paying your mortgage to your mortgage provider through Ulster Bank, you can't pay it. So you're going to go into what they call as a bad line of credit.
Yeah.
Then if you're expecting your wages, you don't get wages. You end up having to get your pay slip from the month prior, bring it to the bank, queue, and they will give you an IOU for cash.
Flipping it.
Well, I mean, welcome to the modern world, Ulster. I could tell you that the rest of United Kingdom has been putting up with this standard of service for ages. So, do you like
this,
it?
This problem actually started in the UK. NatWest is also in the same predicament.
Yeah.
But The first problem was with Royal Bank of Scotland. So yeah. they have sort of fixed that problem. Then they went to NatWest. They fixed the problem there. But because the 21 days has gone along, that's 20 million transactions that are backed up. So they need to go through the system bit by bit by bit by bit. So they have now got IT staff working 24/7 to try and catch up with itself.
Gosh. Gerald, can I ask what may appear a daft question, but is relative? Because I know that the Volvo Ocean Race Festival is taking on, or is taking place in Galway at the moment, over in the beautiful bay there as well. I mean, how are teams that come from all over the world doing offshore racing in the world, one of the world's biggest events, surviving without money?
Well, Ulster Bank wouldn't be the biggest bank in Ireland. We have three other major banks. So you really don't have to go to Ulster Bank if you are a foreign person. You can go to many of the other banks. Strangely enough, I'm not an Ulster Bank customer. And recently I went to an ATM machine, took money out. As I was walking away, I had to look back and said, Ulster Bank gave me money.
Amazing. I mean, what do you think about this? I mean, you know, it's very easy for them to say software glitch, isn't it? I mean, software glitch. I mean, the real problem is something behind that, isn't it? It's the way that the software is managed. And, of course, the way that they've applied themselves to recovering from the software glitch. Have you got any ideas about that?
Well, the House of Commons, the Irish version, the three bank executives were pulled in yesterday, like what they're doing to Barclays Bank, except in a different version, and they've asked questions. And the Jim Brown, who used to be in charge of their Asia market, basically, he only took up the job about a year ago. He said, we're working on it. When asked, did you reduce your IT department? How many IT people have you? He still wasn't able to answer it.
Oh, really? He didn't have the answer. Jim Brown going to keep his job, do you think, after all this? Or is he going to join the other line of ex-bank CEOs?
There's always a job for them somewhere.
Yes, I know, but not in a bank. I mean,
sweeping the
on a building site or something like that. But I mean, we've got Fred the Shred, who's gone down. We've got Bob Diamond, who hopefully is going to be deported. I suppose Hester is thinking about what's going to be happening to his job now the RBS has done this. What about Jim Brown? You think he's secure?
He has decided to not take the bonus for this year. With the EB, with the cut in interest, they were the first bank to say that we're going to pass this on to everybody. But at the moment, they really can't pass it on because they don't have a system working.
Flippy neck. Hey, Gerald, a quick thing, because I am a bit of a nutcase when it comes to anything to do with engines. How's the festival doing over there in Galway?
The festival is doing very, very well. We have what you would call is the import series, which happens tomorrow. And it is between two boats. It's between Camper and Puma.
Blimey.
So there is no points between them. They're at 39 points. So it's really up to them to win. Grupa, which is third, is on 38 points. So it's still a very open race tomorrow. Though the Volvo has finished, this is the last import series leg. So we'll know tomorrow around 6 o'clock exactly the way it will be going. Looking out from the studio here, there's not a puff of wind. The boats are out in the bay and they're not moving.
Oh, my word.
has the Ulster Bank got a sponsored a boat out there?
Not this year, but actually Royal Bank of Scotland did 2 years ago. They had their name on one of the boats.
All right. Did it manage to start, or is this?
Actually, it did.
Really? Did it finish?
It did. It finished.
Did finish.
But, But if it was in this time, I think it may sink.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're not in it this year.
Right, okay. Gerald, thank you ever so much for joining us. We've got to move on. Have a great time with the Volvo Ocean, because it is a really smashing event. And I'm jealous that you're there.
It must be lovely out there as well.
Fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. Well, anything out in
Paris.
anything in Galway, I can assure you, is beautiful. And you should go to Air Square, everybody, because it's one of the most beautiful places in the world. And I'm honoured to have been there as a guest of the local authority, would you believe? And not a prisoner either. So we'll see you soon, Gerald. You take care.
Okay, take care and enjoy yourself.
Cheers, mate. Bye-bye now. That's Gerald from County Galway explaining to us that it's a bit of a disaster over in Ireland at the moment. And I don't know if we have or not, but we'll try it, because I think we've got Lee back. No, we haven't got Lee back.
I think Lee's presence is actually being organised by the RBS. There's another software glitch. Yeah. We better phone up Hester and ask him what's happened to Lee.
Yeah, well, I think he's online now. I'm not sure. Anyway, we'll carry on. So there we go. That was Gerald from Galway. And if we think, or you think you've got it bad in the UK, think of those poor guys over in Ireland. 21 days. Ouch. Can you imagine it, Mark?
Well, I mean, I think it's just really going to be terrible for everybody. And, you know, I don't really believe that it's going to be sorted out for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to end up with charges. They're going to end up with their credit files blighted. There'll be other companies and then other companies. You know, I mean, there's such a knock-on effect. I don't think that Ulster Bank or the RBS are capable of cleaning it up, really.
Anyway, if it carries on, we'll go back to Galway again. We've got some tragic news to start off the programme, unfortunately. An RAF tragedy, the names of three men or airmen who died in a crash involving two Tornado G4R jets in Moray Firth have been released. Flight Lieutenant Hugh Poole died in hospital after being airlifted from the scene, and the bodies of Squadron Leader Samuel Bailey and Flight Lieutenant Adam Saunders have still to be recovered. Our thoughts and prayers are with the families, and we do wish the other surviving gentleman who hasn't been named, or airman, we wish him all the best in hospital, and let's hope there is a full recovery there.
Yep.
Sad news, comedian Eric Sykes, who wasn't probably known around the world, has died, famously twinned with Hattie Jakes in the heyday of good old-fashioned comedy entertainment in the UK. And he was just funny, wasn't he, Mark?
Yeah, he was. I mean, I watched all his stuff when I was a child. I mean, I suppose I tend to think of him as being in black and white, actually, more than anything else. But yes, no, he was great. And I mean, in a way, people who are not in the UK won't have heard of him probably, but of course they will have heard people like the Goons.
Yes.
And he was around about the same kind of time, started in the army in roughly the same kind of way. And so if people have heard of, everybody will have heard of Peter Sellers, Spike Milligan, and Harry Secombe, Michael Bentine, who were the original Goons. And Eric Sykes was never really part of the Goons, but they all knew each other, you know, very, very, very well. And
indeed.
It's the same genre, the same kind of comedy. And yes, he's gone.
Exactly.
89, so he did well.
Yeah, indeed. Somebody that you may not know by name, but I do know around Europe and also in America, Inspector Morse, the police show, was widely shown around the world. In fact, I can't remember how many countries it was at the time. But sadly, James Grout, the guy who played Chief Inspector Strange, he's died at age 84, sorry.
Yep, yeah. What a shame. I never really watched any of the Morse stuff. I don't know why. It sort of passed me by.
It's actually a very good series, to be quite
honest. Yes.
It really is a good series. I'm still keeping an eye open for Lee if we can find him. Something very important to mention now, and also this will be on our fact sheet up on Scrib this week. The reports from several places now, and not just the original source of the FBI, is that over a quarter of a million computers could face problems getting onto the internet on Monday the 9th of July. This is due to a thing called DNS Changer, which is malware, as it's now affectionately known, or one of those Trojan-y things or horrible things and stuff like that. And what it does is, as you try to go online, this nasty piece of software changes the settings. So your internet service provider doesn't know what's going on, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And therefore, you can't get on the internet. But just by way of a change, and Eric being Eric, what we've done for you is on the Scrib site, where you'll find all the program details, there's a link to a website that checks your computer for you.
Yeah.
Now, if this site comes up green... Yeah. Then you've got no problems. If you get a red one, it takes you to a little tool where you can sort it all out before it actually happens. So my advice to you is go to RTI's page on Scribd. It's got some links there, and away you go from there.
Yeah. Well, obviously that's going to be very useful, actually. I mean, those kind of things are dreadful when they happen. Mm. And I suppose a DNS changer does something, probably sort of changes the address of your computer.
So it does,
rather
indeed.
Like giving a false address, a bit like sort of internet... knockdown ginger, really, I suppose.
Yeah, in a strange sort of way. I think you're right there. I have to be very careful with the next topic, but I think it needs reporting. Mm. A teenager who insulted six dead soldiers on Facebook has appeared in court, charged with gross offence. We do have to be careful because he's put in a plea of not guilty. The case has been adjourned until the 14th of September due to an unexpected legal problem. But there's two things that come out of this. One of which, of course, is that if you're on Facebook, it doesn't mean you don't end up in court.
No, absolutely not. I think people really, you know, underestimate it. When they post these kind of things, I think that they really have a sense that they're just sending an email comment to a mate. But it's not like that, because now these things are getting out to, you know, many tens, hundreds of millions of people. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, these comments where, you know, I mean, it may well be a valid opinion that you don't like those soldiers or what have you. But I think that then to put it out in a broadcast that offends people and it offends the public, I think that's something that people have started to have realized that this is what they're doing. And this is where I think that it's reasonable to call them to account.
Indeed so. Well, I can see Lee fighting to get back on the internet, but I don't think... Lee, are you there yet? No. We'll try and get him during the break as well. But, no, I think the other thing to say is that, you know... Ah, it sounds like a Lee. Oh, no, that's a horrible noise, Lee. Change whatever you've just done round into a different setting, because that would be much better. But I would say, you know, do use your loaf a little bit, boys and girls, because... the truth is that people don't like nasty things published about the military in the UK. There's massive support for our amazing soldiers, of which some I've been talking to this week. And my advice to you is, if you've got some silly comment to make, keep it in your head and don't publish it. Engage brain before using key.
Absolutely, it'll get you into a lot of trouble nowadays. Yeah. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you may think that you've got the right to free speech, but actually, when you're dealing with such an enormous number of people of all sorts of varying belief, I think if you're actually going to hurt and insult, you know, a significant number of those people, then I think that those people are entitled to ask for the state or justice to come in and have a look and make a decision about it.
Yeah, indeed. Well, the UK, which is probably one of the reasons why Lee's struggling today, are set for something like a month's worth of rain in two days.
Yeah. And we're talking about not a summer month, we're talking about a winter month.
Are we really?
Well, I mean, 2.4 inches of rain. Well, because I'm just a sad git. Am I allowed to say git?
Yes.
But anyway, because I'm a sad git.
You've said it three times now. Yeah.
The United Kingdom, on average, gets 24 inches of rain per year. Okay, now that's on average. So if you imagine that the summer months are, roughly speaking, the dry months, and the winter months are, roughly speaking, the wet months, then really, you're looking at wet months of rain here.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's going to be, well, I mean, it's going to be a double whammy, because, I mean, an enormous number of people are just recovering now from the floods and the muds and the broken homes, the damaged carpets and the insurance claims, and here it comes again.
Marvellous. And not only that, they've still got droughts over there as well, which I do find interesting. Yep. But we have to say, Mark, it's Wimbledon.
Oh, that's why it is. Blimey. Because they got their covers now, haven't they? Well, so they're all right.
Well, Jack. Centre Court's got a cover over yeah. it, but the others haven't. And every time Wimbledon's on, it rains.
Hmm.
Always does. Moving over to Prague, Randy Blythe, the singer with the US metal band Lamb of God, has been arrested in Prague over the death of a fan at a gig in the Czech Republic 2 years ago. I bet that was a culture shock for him. Cool, not half.
I've never even heard of the band, actually. I'm very sorry. I mean, I know what a Lamb of God is meant to be, but I didn't know that there was a metal one.
There's a metal one as well.
Right.
But let's just put it this way. There are different laws in the Czech Republic, as there are in other countries in the world, and I suspect there'll be some serious questions going on over in Prague at the moment, Mr. Blythe. The BBC campaign, we'll mention quickly, it's growing again. Thank the Lord. But we still need a lot. Yes, I think the Lamb of God. Very good. We need more. We do need a lot more. So if you can find yourself a little bit of time to go to Facebook and go to BBC We Say No. And this is a campaign to avoid the local radio stations in the UK being chopped in half. Nobody else has bothered in the UK. Amazing. And also in this week, there's a new boss at the BBC.
There is, yeah.
George Entwistle.
Hmm. I mean, was he in The Who?
I like that one. Very good. Very good, very good. There's all sorts of people being interviewed or allegedly interviewed for the job. George Entwistle was, I suppose he still is at the moment, a television man. He was in charge of vision for the BBC. And I'm worried, Mark, to be honest. I just am so worried that a director general can come through, and my understanding is he's got no radio knowledge whatsoever. The interesting thing is that there's divided views in the media about it. Because on one set of media, I think it was the Telegraph, he should bring, you know, they're calling to bring back the magnificent ideals of the BBC, you know, and
well,
do wonders.
Magnificent ideals are founded in radio and also found in local radio, I think, so it
exactly.
is a bit worrying.
And do wonders for BBC culture, which I have to say, Mr. Entwistle, if you do that, you'll have a viewer of about 10.
I'll be one of them.
Yeah, as Mark Lawson in The Guardian put it, there's Lee again. Are you there, Lee?
What were you eating yesterday, Lee?
I don't know, but whatever it is, take that one out, Lee. It's horrible.
I think he's sulking, actually. I don't think he's talking to us.
No, I think he's trying to get... I know what I think it is. His microphone's cable's been playing up for weeks, and he's on an old computer that doesn't have...
built-in mic.
Built-in mic.
Mm.
Yeah. Lee!
Hello?
Are you there?
Lee,
we can hardly hear you.
No, it's gone again. I think we just have to continue.
Yeah, we'll keep going. Lee, if you can figure out what's wrong with that cable or to start your other computer up, that might be the best route.
Can you nip down to PC World and just buy a new one?
Yes. I think we'll wait till the break and we'll get Lee sorted out at that time.
Yeah.
Mark Lawson from The Guardian says the challenge for the new people is that he does have a paradox here in that newspaper people will demand serious and original, and by original they'll mean arty programmes from the BBC. Where Lee is there?
No, he's
hello?
Not.
Hello, you're
hello.
Back!
Hello!
Good
don't
heavens.
Interrupt, go away.
Hold on a minute, I'll finish this and you can comment. Whereas the problem that Mark Lawson's got, because don't forget, the guys that critique the BBC and newspapers are a very, very tiny, minuscule percentage of the licence fee payers. Now, the paradox is newspapers will want serious and original programme, whilst the normal millions of licence fee payers who want entertainment and sport there's going to be a problem struggling to deliver both quarters of it.
Yeah.
This is very trippy.
Very trippy?
Yeah. I've got you on three computers and each one has just got a slight delay.
Well, turn two off then.
Oh, I never thought of that.
While he's doing that, Mark, he's a problem.
I've done it.
All right. Well, anyway, Mark.
No, I haven't. He's still on.
Yeah, Mark. I'm going to say, the sort of satisfying these, you know, these different requirements is part of the job, and I mean, this is why they get paid this fabulous sum for. Because, I mean, I think they get a lot of money. I think they're getting, you know, I mean, they don't get as much as Bob Diamond, of course, but let's hope they do a better job. But
I think
they were getting over 600,000 quid.
No, he's down to 400,000, the new bloke.
Oh dear me, is that all?
Yeah.
Well, you know, 400,000 quid of license fee pays money. I think that, you know, if the job comes with these kind of problems, well. You know, there we are, and I think that they will have to deliver.
Yes.
But to a certain extent, also, I mean, I suppose that, you know, these nine people plus me, who are in a way quite like the traditional BBC format.
You like the Reithian stuff?
Well, you know, I mean, I suppose that we've got to move on, because at the end of the day, you know, we do have here the digital expansion. We get all sorts of new possibilities and new values and new requirements in the digital age. And
superfluous requirements. Then.
No, Lee, shush me. Go on, Mark, and you come in next.
And, you know, anything that's superfluous requirements, I think maybe we just should get rid of.
Yep, indeed. So the comment we've got round to page four. You just pull your headphones out again.
Is this is the funny part of the programme now?
I think it is, yeah. It's called Lee and Technology. Lee?
What?
Talk to me, Lee.
Hello?
All superfluous to requirements.
No,
you're not, Lee. No, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, really.
No, darlings. Have you got yourself sorted now?
What? What do you want? I don't even know what we're talking about. I can go
away. We're talking about...
The BBC.
Have you got yourself sorted?
What would you like to say about the BBC?
All right. Shall we do this, just a little intro again? The paradox for the new boss of the BBC is keeping the journalists in newspapers happy in terms of their demand for serious and original programming, whilst satisfying millions of licence fee payers who want entertainment and sport.
The problem we have with the new bloke, the BBC, is that he's a clone, apart from the beard... He's a clone of everybody else who's been at the top of the BBC. And what the BBC have done forever is perpetuate low-grade entertainment.
What?
And what newspapers are demanding is that they up the ante. I think our campaign to save local radio is a brilliant idea. Mm-hmm. But then, just chuck into the mix, BBC Worldwide.
Yeah.
The financial arm of the BBC, where they've suddenly started to try and make money. They've not done that and improved the programmes. They've just moved into the financial sector where they're earning money. Strange place, the BBC, now.
No, Lee, I'm sorry. That one, I'll have to defend the BBC, because BBC Worldwide has been pumping money back into the BBC to reduce the licence fee for donkey's years.
I didn't say they hadn't. What I've said is that they've had this money coming in and they've done nothing to improve it. I think it is a travesty that this chap, his name's Entwistle, isn't it? Because I don't want to listen.
Yeah. He's playing the Who.
Is a bloke who is only going to perpetuate the travesties that the BBC created over the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the travesties like the opera and the ballet, you mean?
No, that's the Traviata.
A ballet, particularly, is very difficult to watch on radio.
It's not. You listen to the footsteps and you work it out in your mind. It's great.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody talks about it.
Silly
biblical poem.
Yeah, right. So anyway, well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be magnanimous. I'm going to give Mr. Entwistle the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to wish him luck with the paradox that he's got. But I'm also going to say to you, if you screw up, Mr. Entwistle, you're probably going to be one of the last powerful DGs in the BBC. Get it wrong.
It's going to be one of the last parrots.
No, you're going to be one of the last, because if you get it wrong, you're going to kill the BBC. We'll be back in a couple of seconds after we've made sure Lee's going to be here.
He's doing another edition of Mr. Bean on the radio soon as well. That'd be great.
From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.